Hey everybody, happy April Fool's Day. Welcome to another MoGraph MoCast. I'm Matt. Joining me this week, we're going to get weird with our good friend, Mr. Nick Denbauer, otherwise known as Smearballs. I'm sporting Smearballs shirt right now, as you can see. Yeah. Good stuff. It's a very comfortable fit, I do have to say.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of my favorites of the many that I have. So, super excited about the show today. We're going to talk some stuff, do some things. It's been a while since we've had Nick on. It's great to do it on April Fool's Day, which is a lot of fun. So
I was going to ghost you.
You know, wouldn't that be hilarious if I created an AI version of you, without you knowing, and just did that instead?
I should have used my avatar, man. I'm fully meta-human now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
You should have set that up. I could have done the whole thing from facial mocap.
We'll see if you can do that while we're talking, and then just at one point just switch over, right?
Right.
want to thank our Universal sponsor, Otoy, for sponsoring the show, sponsoring the podcast, sponsoring all things MoGraph. We really appreciate it. They are the makers of Octane Render. You know them. You love them. They're good people. Sorry, I was bringing up my notes. Super excited to have them. With Octane, you can create super photorealistic renders incredibly fast. And for those renders, you need an extra little push of power. The Render Network has you covered. The Render Network allows you to render your Octane and Redshift frames in a fraction of the time and a fraction of the cost of other cloud rendering services. I've been using them a lot lately for a lot of Redshift renders for this project that I'm on. And I've got to say, I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the last show or not, but the Redshift integration for render has been absolutely killer. I rarely have a bad frame, which is just so cool. So, yeah.
I noticed that with Octane lately too. I haven't used it in a while, and I used it in the last few months, and it was everything's coming in perfect, and the interface is cool, and the little desktop app they have is great.
The desktop app is awesome. Yeah, it's super nice. Typically I haven't used the Render Network lately for Octane stuff because I've got such a heavy farm at home, you know, and
that's why I wasn't using it much.
Yeah.
I got so many GPUs here, but then when you're under a crazy deadline, there's no, especially 4K stuff.
But because the way Redshift and the subscription works, you know, you have to buy additional Redshift licenses. It's I'm not going to spend $1,000 on Redshift licenses, you know, and I can't do it locally. So I've been sending it up to the farm, and it's so, it's just so much cheaper, so much better. Yeah.
It heated my house, my studio, the whole winter, man. I got my machines going and barely have to heat this place.
Right. That's funny.
It's GPU heated.
That's super funny. Another thing with Otoy, reminder, RenderCon is April 15th. If you haven't gotten your tickets, go to renderfoundation.com/RenderCon and you can pick up a free ticket if you use the promo code MoGraph. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be out there. The whole MoGraph team is going to be out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, super excited about it. Couple of headlines real quick before we hop in and talk to Nick. The first one, can we do the thing? Reminder that NAB is next week. And so there's a couple of really fun NAB parties. First one is the NAB MoGraph Meetup, hosted by School of Motion and Rive. That's at Tom's Urban, I believe. I'm not sure where the link for that is, but if you just Google NAB 2025 MoGraph Meetup, you'll be able to find it. Also, the MoGraph and iDesign karaoke party is on Monday. You can go to mograph.com/groups/MoGraph, and that will bring you to the MoGraph group that we've got, and we've got an event set up for there, which will lead you to tickets and stuff. If you're going to be there, come hang out, sing some karaoke. It's going to be a lot of fun. The other headline I've got is Rodeo Effects buys Micros. So with all the stuff that's been going on with Technicolor and all the studios, you know, that they owned going under, it's really cool to see another studio pick it up and actually buy Micros. So former Technicolor company Micros was bought by Rodeo Effects, which is cool. And I believe that's a Canadian company, right? Nick, do you know that?
Oh, sounds familiar, but so, I'm yeah. Yeah.
So I know they were doing some Paw Patrol stuff, and I think Paw Patrol is made in Canada, but yeah, love myself some Canada.
I don't watch a whole lot of that children's entertainment, being a childless man myself.
Yeah, I've been working on a project lately, and the, you know, it's required a lot of, like, you know, cartoony animation and stuff, and the creative director or whatever is like, we're not making Pixar here, we're making Paw Patrol. So it's pretty funny. I don't know, made me laugh. Yeah,
they generally keep me away from the children's entertainment.
Yeah, you're more of the after hours Adult Swim
yeah.
person. Yeah. So how you been? You took a Good, year man. Off.
I did. It was like, a much needed year off. I was getting pretty burnt out. Like, I don't know. Like, I used to think, oh, I can't burn out. I just go all the time. I have no problems. But I started feeling some burnout back in like early 2024. I just finished that Motley Crue video that I spent 6 months straight on solo. And it was like a slog. It was fun because it was like pretty free creative control. And I was working with Tommy and Nikki, and it was just, there was no, you know, label in between. Like the actual process was fun, but just the amount of hours, it's like, and it was my own doing, kind of like, it was one of those like, hey, I got an opportunity here to do kind of something cool and whatever I want. So I was fun and I was doing it. But then it was like by the end of it. Well, it was also supposed to be a 2.5 minute cut down.
Uh-huh.
And then once I gave them the cut, they were like, no, we didn't do a radio edit. We want you to do the whole 4 minutes. And I all of a sudden the job doubled at the end. I got more money, but it was just like, I thought I was across the finish line, and they're like, no, we got to do the whole song. So I was like, fuck. And then I dove back in and had to cook up a whole new ending and everything for it. It was crazy,
man.
But once I was done that, and then I got another project. I did this big thing for the Butthole Surfers.
Yeah.
And then that was just another, you know, slog where I just spent way too many hours.
I mean,
and then I was like, I need a break.
You mentioned so, it. So it would like, I only know that one song by the Butthole Surfers, and I'm pretty sure they were local Dallas.
Yeah, they were Texas guys. Yeah. And they were kind of like the quintessential pre-grunge band. Like, they were around even in the late 80s, I believe.
Were they?
And they were just like super weird, experimental, you know, strange rock, like total precursor to grunge. And but the project I did, it was for the documentary on the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically was tasked with doing this intro for the film, which actually just opened up. It premiered at South by Southwest of, mm-hmm. what, a couple weeks ago or something. We had to recreate the show from the late 80s or early 90s in this venue. I forget what the venue was called. It was in L.A. It was some theater that no longer exists. So I kind of had to, like, rebuild the venue and then populate it with a crowd. And then I created, there were not very good photos of the band, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. back then. So I'm working with these shittiest photos on earth, trying to like 3D model. I actually modeled the band from scratch, just using Reillusion has this tool called Headshot, which is pretty hit or miss, where you can kind of generate a character from photos. And so I used that. Oh, is it not playing?
It's not. No. Oh, there we go. Okay. There we go. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, a full, you know, smoke machine, all 3D with hair and the whole shebang. So I did all the mocap as well.
Oh, that's cool.
In my Rococo suit. And it was just, you know, a pain in the ass. But it was, you know, getting all their outfits and the look of all the characters. And yeah, they had a naked lady in the band with pube dreads.
Nice. All right. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
All right. Go back to the box.
Sorry, I should have.
That's all right. I should have watched it ahead of time. I should have known. I should have known.
Full frontal nudity. Yeah. I forgot about that. Sorry. Did I just get your YouTube account banned?
Oh, that's funny.
So it's cartoons. It's all
right. Right.
Sorry about that. I forgot.
It's all right.
But yeah, it was a kind of a cool project to do that. But yeah, super pain in the ass because it's not so bad when you've got like good quality photos of the band, and it's not like I could use that now because all the guys are like pushing 60 or something. Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah. But with the sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I don't know if you have did y'all have Mr. Peppermint up in Canada?
No.
Mr. Peppermint was like a Bozo the Clown type show or something, or like a Mr. Rogers, you know? And it may have been local to Dallas, I don't know, but I know they shot in Dallas. Mr. Peppermint, you know, and he's a super fun, like, kid-friendly whatever. Mr. Peppermint is the lead singer of the Butthole Surfer's dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was really funny. Crazy. I remember back in the, like, either late 90s or early 2000s or something, you know, Mr. Peppermint was on this local radio show, and he kept on saying Butthole Surfers over and over and over again, you know, and the radio host was just like, no, you can't talk like that, you know. This is Texas, you know. No, Butthole Surfers. He'd just, like, slip it in every time he could, Butthole Man. Surfers.
He's proud of his son. Yeah. That's great.
So
that's funny.
That's cool. So how did you get that gig? Was it through some of the connections that you had with, you know, Motley Crue or
I don't remember
anything?
The director just called me. I think we just had a mutual friend or something. But, yeah, the director called me up and hooked that gig up at that time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did some stuff with Joel, too, not too long ago. He's doing that video game for his, it's like Meowington Simulator.
Oh, cool.
Have you seen anything about that?
I want to say that I think I saw something like it. Yeah.
It's pretty dope. So he's got all these, like, IK physics going on with his cat that dances around. And then it's almost like a, you know, synthesizer where you can change the waveforms of the dancing along with the music and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So the cat. The front will dance all weird and the back goes out of control and everything's in and out of sync with the BPM. And you've got this whole interface to kind of control the cat dancing. But then it's also like a roam around world and a venue that he can play live in online and stuff like that. So he's building this whole game.
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. It's all in Unreal.
Has he been working on it for a while?
Yeah, a long time. And he's got really good with Unreal and he's got a good team working on it. So I just basically made a whole bunch of like accessories and clothes for the character and stuff like that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
That a bit.
Did you use Marvelous or Houdini?
No, I just was sculpting it in, you know, Cinema 4D mostly and then just, you know, pumping it into Unreal from there.
Cool. That's cool. So,
yeah, it's Houdini for some costumes. I just, you know, but if simple stuff like that where it's kind of low poly, I just did it all in C4D.
Yeah. And he's doing this with a team?
Yeah, he's got a few people working on it. I don't know who's all doing what, but it's, yeah, it's coming together. I don't know when it's going to be released, but
yeah.
Do you happen to know
if he's been doing like because I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, you know? Mm-hmm. If last time I saw him was he played a show in Dallas and he was showing me all of the touch designer stuff that he's been incorporating, you know?
Oh yeah. He's like expert level touch designer guy. Yeah. Man. It's crazy. He's built his entire live show in there.
Yeah. It's really cool. You know? And I didn't know if he was moving over to more Unreal, whatever for the show. I don't know. I got to reach out to him.
I didn't hear about that, but yeah, I'd imagine, you know, he's so integrated with Touch. I wouldn't see how running that out of Unreal would be helpful.
Yeah.
Because Touch can do everything too. It's wild program, man. I play around a little bit in my studio downstairs on the video wall with Touch Designer. It's fun to play around with, but I still like haven't scratched the surface. But luckily a lot of the kind of Houdini knowledge comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen some of the stuff that Dave's been doing with Touch Designer?
No.
So like it's really cool. He did this at camp, the last camp, and then did it again for the Already Been Chewed party a couple weeks ago, where he's doing this DJ stuff and he set up some nodes to where he'll have multiple inputs where one of them will like be driving video and another one will be driving like an AI, you know? And so like you'll put in a prompt and he'll have like this little old school looking Commodore computer or whatever, and you go up and you type in a prompt and then it will adjust based off of his different levels and stuff that he's DJing, you know. It's all live and it's really cool.
Nice.
Super cool stuff. So you spent 6 months on Motley Crue.
Yeah.
And then was burned out for a year.
Well, burned out, but just from the computers, man. And plus, I got an opportunity. I like way underbid on a house and happened to get it. So I was like, holy shit.
That's nice.
You know, I was just throwing low balls around and scored. So I bought this house. I needed a full gut job and shit. But then, I just took 10 months from start to finish. I did the whole thing solo.
I was going to say, because like you've got that background in construction as well, right?
That's what I used to do. Yeah. You know, I ran a construction company for 10 years. So it was kind of like, you know, get to use those skills again, get back in shape. I lost like 30 plus pounds.
Nice. That's super nice.
Definitely did a number on my body too, though. I was like, you know, not ready for it when I started. I was pretty out of shape. That was the other half. Just sitting at the computer every day for 10 hours, like, you know, losing muscle, gaining fat, just feeling shitty, you know, like I was glad to get away and break that cycle, you know, because it's been a decade of that bad behavior.
You bought a house in Toronto? Is it in Toronto?
Yeah, it's right close to my studio. It's a 10-minute walk. So
that's awesome, dude. Congrats.
Yeah.
That's super cool. So you had to gut the whole thing? You're still working out of your studio, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, same place. You never showed up here last time.
We met up somewhere we went to what's the island?
Toronto
Island. Yeah. We got to see your boat, you know.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
Well, I'm all out of focus here. Let me see if this fixes it. My webcam's a piece of crap.
It's all good. Cool. You know, most of the people are listening anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
So, talk to me about, like, I can't imagine being on a project for 6 months, you know, like one project. How do you keep yourself sane? You know, because I know I did, you know, when me and Dave were working together, I was doing, you know, we worked on the Madden video games and like, we'd do like 3 or 4 months at a time, but it was like, we were literally working on something new almost every day, you know? Mm-hmm. But it still burned me out. How do you work on one song for 6 months long?
Oh man. Well, you don't listen to it as much as possible. You just don't listen to it. No, it was kind of like, I think it was 167 shots or something crazy like that, you know? But like I said, I thought I was done in the 3 or 4 month mark. And then, you know, the scope doubled almost, you know, so it was like starting over all of a sudden trying to figure out a new edit. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's a grind, but it's fun because I was like building all the environments and the characters got done up front. Like I actually did it all with phone scans.
Really?
So they were on the road in like Eastern Europe or something at the time when we started. So I got their photographer just to do what I do basically is just take my phone and do a burst shot and do like a 180 around their face. So you take like 60 photos in like a second or a couple seconds and then put that in reality capture. And I get like a pretty decent, you know, bumpy scan, but it's like got all the data you need, you know? And then I take that into ZBrush, smooth it out a little bit and remesh it. And then I take it into a Reillusion character creator where you can actually now rewrap that mesh onto their topology. So you basically, you know, line up your head and you give it all the like 30 or 40 different, you know, points that correspond to your scan and your topologized mesh. And then it like conforms it. It wraps it, 3D wraps it onto the head and then it conforms the topology and bakes the texture onto it. So then all of a sudden you've got a fully rigged, ready for facial mocap, you know, Reillusion rig, and you're off to the races. So I was able to do each character in maybe three days each or 2 days each.
Wow.
And then had decent, like almost scan level, you know, the bodies are a bitch because those guys are covered in tattoos. So I had to projection paint their tattoos onto the body. And that took a while too. So
are you doing any substance work for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Although I really recently kind of switched to Mari because I was like tired of paying for substance and I was using it for my own projects, not really commercially. So I was just kind of messing around with that. And I like it. It's not as good as substance, but it's still pretty powerful.
Are they, it's the Foundry.
That's Foundry. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking like Moto or something. I know they were getting rid of one of their products. I don't remember which one it was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. How different is Mari from substance?
Pretty similar, similar system, layers, and, you know, exportability. It's just not as nice of an interface, you know?
Yeah. Does it have a lot of built-in pre-done textures, like Substance?
Not as much, at least not on the, you know, non-commercial version I was using, but I'm sure maybe they have more on other versions.
Yeah. Talk to me about Reillusion Character Creator. I've never heard of it.
No, it's awesome. It's kind of like, you know, it's like MetaHuman style. Like, it's got, you can buy some additional texture packs and skin shaders and normal map packs and stuff like that that give you really realistic characters. Like, that's what I'm using for all my Instagram stuff.
Really?
But yeah, it's got like, you know, hundreds of facial morphs. So you can basically sculpt anybody. Like, there's like 40 morphs for just like your eye area that you can change the eyebrow height and the, you know, bags under your eyes and how far your eyes stick out. And like same with mouth. Every single part of the face has different morph sliders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can build your own and save your own. So, you know, you kind of build up a collection of all these different morphs so you can bend anyone into any shape you want and texture it. And it's all ready to rock in iClone. You just dump your character into iClone and you can run your mocap straight out of there.
What's iClone? And dude, you're using all these things that I don't know.
Really? You don't know iClone? It's pretty awesome software, actually. I mean, I mostly just use iClone to dump my character creator models in and then to do mocap, because you can just drag and drop your Rococo mocap or mocap from any source.
Which is also Reillusion. Okay.
Yeah, it's all Reillusion. And it's a bit of a bitch to buy that software, but it's still not a subscription. You just buy it and you have it, which is quite nice in this day and age. But it's a whole bunch of modules you have to buy. So it adds up, you know, because you need like the character creator, and then you need the headshot plugin to do that wrap technique I was telling you about. And, you know, it all adds up to be these like, you know, $100 add-ons. But once you have that whole package, it's super powerful for character stuff.
Huh.
And
can you bring in your own custom?
Reillusion has a software that's free called AccuRig that's basically like, what's the Adobe Mixamo? It's like Mixamo. You just put a mesh in and it'll just auto rig a character, and then you can dump that into anything. It's pretty, I think you don't even need to put it into Reillusion software. You can just pull an FBX out of that for free and put it in C4D or whatever.
Interesting.
So,
it's got like, I'm looking at the iClone. Like, is there a like camera that takes and lines up
for what do you mean for the,
like, for facial movements and stuff like that?
Yeah. So iClone's got built-in facial mocap, just like you see with MetaHuman and stuff. And so I tried the MetaHuman one the other day, and it's actually a bit better in some circumstances. It's kind of like, you know, some characters, obviously, if you've warped the face to a crazy degree, it's not going to play nice with the mocap as much as a regular looking character will. But
yeah,
it's pretty decent. And it uses, you know, the iPhone LiDAR technology, same with the MetaHuman stuff. And you can puppet a face with it, and it's really good. And you can actually just type in the text, too, and it does the mouth movements based on the text.
Really? Can you bring in audio files?
Yeah. Yeah, that too. It's like five different ways you can make people talk in that software. It's really cool.
Man, that sounds cool.
And it's great for what I primarily use it for is for mocap cleanup, because it kind of has an override on everything. You bring in mocap, and if your, you know, arm is intersecting with your body, you can easily just override it, move the arm out, and it's like fixes it. So it's like really, really good for mocap cleanup.
So are you doing, okay, so talk to me through your process. Right. Okay. Yeah. For like from getting a character basically from start to finish. So you'll take the pictures, the burst pictures of someone's face. You'll bring that into Reillusion, right?
Reality capture first. So reality capture just to make the photogrammetry of someone's head.
Okay.
Then I take that into Character Creator 4, and then you can use a plugin called Headshot, where you can take that model and conform it to Reillusion's topology. And that's just by putting a whole bunch of, you know, points, like here's the eye on your scan and the mesh.
Yeah.
And then it just conforms your, you know, model to the mesh, and it bakes a texture onto that model. And all of a sudden you've got your character in Character Creator 4 ready to go based on your scan with some pretty high level detail. You can do 8K textures on it if you want with the bake.
So if you were to be creating your own character, like say you model your own character in ZBrush or something, you know, you can you bring that in and use the same rigging system and stuff?
Totally. Yeah, 100%. And then you've basically got in Character Creator where you can add clothes. Their clothes selection's not very good, but you can bring in your own clothes as well and use their auto rigger in there to, you know, rig the clothes to the character.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, it's pretty powerful software. So basically I've just been making characters in there, or you can make them from scratch. They've got all these base models you can use and base morphs to, like, you know, make characters from scratch in their software.
Okay.
So. Yeah, and then I would, for animation, I would jump in my Rococo suit, or I've got a pretty massive library of mocap that I've bought and, you know, shared from people. So, I, you know, use a ton of that mocap, or if I can't find something in my library or buy something, the Rococo library's got tons of cool stuff too. Sometimes,
dude, you should package up a lot of your mocap stuff and sell it.
Yeah, well, a lot of mine's pretty specific and weird, and I don't know if people are going to need that. But yeah, totally. But then basically you can just drag and drop your FBXs or whatever format your mocap is right into iClone. So you just dump it in iClone and it works. You clean it up, and then I take I do all the mocap, facial mocap as well. In there, I usually don't do them at the same time, just because, like, you know, you're doing like 20 different takes of a performance in your mocap suit, and it might not line up with your facial performance. So I just like to do the facial after.
Okay.
Because it's kind of, then you can art direct it afterwards and line it up to the motion a little better and have more, you know, control over getting good takes. But yeah, then everything, once it's all in iClone and done and cleaned up, then I bring that into C4D and bring it into my scene and, you know, do stuff there.
Yeah.
Build my entire scene out in C4D and render. And then obviously I do all my Sims in Houdini nowadays because the Vellum is amazing and that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. How hard did you find the transition over from C4D to Houdini? And like,
it was hard. It took a long time. Still, like, I still suck at Houdini, except outside of Vellum. Like, I mean, I don't render. I just started learning how to render in Houdini, and it's just it's still so much easier in Cinema 4D. I still just bounce my Alembics out of Houdini back into C4D and render out of there, just because it's just like 100 times easier with, you know, Octane, and C4D is my jam, you know?
Yeah.
And I've got so many assets in the asset library now that I built for like a decade that it's just kind of like, to shift that over anywhere is such a huge pain in the ass right now. It's kind of hard for me to jump out of that world. But I'm building more, I'm modeling more in Houdini, and I'm just generally like, you know, I'm also just bringing in my raw FBXs from Character Creator from iClone into Houdini rather than going into C4D first to do a bunch of stuff, just because better at Houdini at doing some of the character stuff. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's slowly migrating where more of the workflow around the character sims is happening in Houdini, but still ultimately my scenes are rendered in C4D and building everything there.
And so you can choose on your character stuff to either use your Rococo or use like a built-in. Is there anything similar to like what is it, the AI one where you shoot yourself on a camera? Is there anything like that?
I've heard there are some good ones. What are they called again? What has one built in now? I think it was. Rococo has their own app now. That's that uses a mocap. But I mean, for me to jump in my suit and have something in the can, it literally takes 10, 15 minutes.
Really?
Like, the hardest part is squeezing into the suit, but like turning it on and pressing record, it's like, you know.
Not so much now that you've lost some weight, you know.
It's true, man. Like at first, like I got the large, and like when I was at my worst, I was like, dude, I don't want anyone to see me in this thing. It was very unflattering. But yeah, now it's pretty good.
Have you tried any of the like the Sony Makopi motion capture stuff?
That's one I heard about. I just wonder about drift with that one. Like, I mean, even with the Rococo one, it's pretty bad after you've been recording for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get the base station thing. I forget what it's called for the Rococo suit. They have a new, like, triangulating station that keeps everything locked so you can, you know, have perfect alignment with all of your gloves and everything.
Yeah. I know the people over at Makopi. They sponsored camp last year. I should put in touch with them.
You know? Yeah, I would love to try some more systems.
It's super easy as far as like just putting on the, you know, it's like literally a few sensors and stuff. And it's all done on your phone to be able to see. But you can also connect that at the same time to Rococo Studio, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's so like be able to do all that stuff. Pretty cool.
That's neat. And that's a Sony product, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down to try some of that stuff. I just like, I don't know, once you got a thing that works down, you know. And also I heard that the ones that are just camera based, it's kind of like you need multiple cameras to run it, like, you know, 2-3 iPhones or something.
I don't know. I had a little bit of jiggle, you know, anytime my feet would leave the ground, but it was like a year or two ago before from when I was trying it, you know, and they've since updated and had some good updates.
Oh, and I'm sure all that AI stuff's getting so much better now.
Yeah, seriously.
We're all going to be obsolete anytime.
Are you implementing any AI into your workflows and stuff?
For textures, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, not buying much stock texture stuff these days, you know? So, and I saw that people were doing some tests with ChatGPT-4 image creation and like full blown making normal maps and height maps and stuff straight out of it. And I'm like, that's pretty crazy. Cause
that is, yeah.
You know, there's mass libraries that you could train stuff on to make those. So that's kind of exciting, but it'll destroy a lot of businesses of people who make textures for a living. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, I feel like, though, the people, I don't know, maybe it'll just become way more specialized. It's like, I need, because I know some other modelers who I've worked with, you know, when you're actually modeling like a physical product and you're having to match up those textures exactly, you know, a lot of times just a simple scan won't do. You've got to, you know, I doubt you could easily throw it into, you know, something like ChatGPT and be like, hey, create me a perfectly seamless texture of this and make it look super photorealistic. I don't know.
Yeah. No, there's always going to be, you know, things that need to be done the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the world we live in. And I think it's just also, I don't know, I've been pretty reluctant to go full AI on anything or share it on my channels when I make stuff, just because I don't give a shit about it. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, whoop-de-doo, I made this thing. Like, I do not care about it at all.
Yeah.
And I also don't care who made it when I see AI stuff online. I'm like, I don't care to follow most of these accounts or just, it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Neat, looks neat. Moving on.
I see a lot of weird stuff. I feel Phil might be right up your alley. Dave sent me quite a few Instagram things of Shrek and
that Shrek at McDonald's shit is nuts, you know. Like, I saw some of those that were pretty mind blowing, man. And it really just shows you where things are going. It's amazing. But yeah. I think that's kind of why I've kind of leaned into doing more Houdini simulation stuff, is just because having that level of art direction control and making things that you want, I think, is still a little safer these days. And, you know, and it's just more fun to experiment in that stuff than it is with AI for me. Like, to actually build a machine with a whole bunch of moving parts in Houdini, and that's just all I want to do these days. It's just fun to see how stuff breaks and, you know, looks ridiculous when you flop it around.
So I ran across this, have you heard of privateisland.tv?
No.
Let me see if I can bring this up. So this just completely blew me away the other day. I think they're a UK-based studio, but they're implementing AI in, let me turn off the audio. But so it's live action. This is live action, you know, and then
like, yeah, using it for keyframes and
The in-betweens and stuff. Like, you can obviously tell, you know, and they don't try and hide the fact that they're using AI, which I can appreciate, you know. Yeah. It's like,
I just finished a gig like this, actually. I'm under NDA, but it was for an AI. It was for Google, for their platform, for Gemini. And it was like, we were using AI for it in a similar way, you know, using it for backgrounds and establishing shots and keyframes in between stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's super handy and cool.
I mean, I really like the idea of like, okay, I need transitions from point A to point B, you know, like fill in the in-betweens or something. It's like, yeah, or I can go through and I can create an entire environment, mm-hmm. you know, and be like, okay, here's my starting point. Here's my ending point. Get me there, you know. Totally.
Especially for building environments, because that's like on that 6 months of Motley Crue shit, I don't know how many weeks I spent building those environments,
yeah.
you know, which is kind of obviously cool because you can really art direct it and control it. But at the same time, it's like some of them I'm like, I don't give a shit to create another, you know, desert floor with cacti all over. It's just like, just make that. It's some boring
yeah.
kind of asset, you know, that like you can still have to spend all the time making it look right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of, it's cool. It's going there. You know, I'm excited just for streamlining environments in general. I've been messing around a lot with splats, trying to make that.
Yeah.
No work as part of the flow, and I got it going. I actually had it working in Octane. I downloaded
the new standalone, right?
New standalone,
which they just released a new, like the newest stable version yesterday, I believe.
Oh, good. I should check that out because I sent it to, I forget who's working on that, Nikita or I forget his yeah. name, but he's on the MoGraph sock anyway. But I sent him my file because I had taken a scan that I did of an alleyway in Toronto, and then like. Made in Reality Capture, you can export your camera positions and all your data to PostShot and make a
from
splat
your phone.
All desktop software, but you export your photogrammetry solve to PostShot, and then it makes a splat where it's positioned exactly in the same spot as your photogrammetry scan. So potentially, you could use your photogrammetry as a shadow catcher and a physics. You know, simulation, collision object, and then render with your splat because it's way better quality and way more detail.
Yeah.
Than scan. So I tried to do that in Octane, and I layered the two on top of each other and it lined up perfect in Octane standalone. But it was getting all these black, you know, kind of intersection shadows from where the splats intersected with the geometry.
Yeah.
So I could do it, and I think he was going to try and solve it. But the other thing, it rendered super slow. So, and that's the whole point of using a splat, because it rasterizes and then it's just like. Real time. So
right.
in Octane, it's still trying to crunch it with the, you know, physical rendering somehow. And it was super slow, I think. So I hopefully they find a way to rasterize it. Like you could do almost like a visual only HDRI environment or something like that and treat it like that, where it doesn't interfere with the, you know, scene and lighting at all.
Yeah. Did you try messing with the Ray Epsilon?
Yeah, that was my first go-to because that's what, you know, I tried everything. It wasn't happening. So hopefully they figure that out. But more so, hopefully they figure out how to make it render fast in Octane, because it's like, if it slows things down, it makes it not worth it. Then I'd rather just dump it into After Effects and, you know, bring my cameras into After Effects and comp it.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about splats is you can use it as like, you could have 10 of them in a scene with as different objects and buildings. And, you know, it would make things so much more fun to build environments where you're not, you know.
It seems heavy, though. Like how, you'll have to excuse my ignorance, but I don't know much about Gaussian splats other than, you know, like you can get some really high res stuff in a 3D environment.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. I did one of a church that had like a chain link fence through it and all this stuff. And it worked. Like the chain link fence had all that detail. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is incredible. You know, because you could never do that with photogrammetry. It'd be a mess.
Yeah. Seriously. You know? I saw this one Gaussian splat where they were even doing it in a mirror. Like, you know, I don't know if you saw the old, it was like an old rundown barbershop or something like that.
But I've seen similar things with the reflections and stuff, but
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, but yeah, it's still got a ways to go out of the render engine, but you can, I did a test where I just basically took my, render from Octane with a shadow catcher on the photogrammetry. And then I just comped it in After Effects where I, you know, put the splat in the background and it renders well and fast, but you know, it still would be great to have that all out of the can in Octane.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I'm jealous of all the stuff that you're doing, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of experimentation and a lot of fun that you get to have versus...
Yeah, but you don't get to make money while you're experimenting. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I was messing around too much in February. I kind of had a little slow spot there where I didn't have any work for a few weeks. So I just kind of dove in, spent like 2 weeks on Unreal, spent a few weeks on other stuff. Yeah.
You doing anything fun with Unreal?
I just ported my scan because I went to Otoy and got a light stage scan of myself, right? Because I was doing a bunch of visuals for Oliver Tree.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Kind of that last year, which we built a crazy amount of stuff for his live show.
Yeah.
So, and he's crazy, dude. He came, he was here actually a few months ago because he had a show in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And he just crashed in my studio and we just worked on a whole bunch of visuals like for 3 days. And then like he used them on the show the next night.
That's so, it was so fun.
Funny to blast things off in real time that fast.
Yeah. So you were doing that in all in Unreal?
No, that was okay. All C4D Octane stuff still, but we're, you know, I'm going to port his characters to Unreal as well, just so we can do more, you know, content without having to render and see how it goes, you know?
That's fun.
We're doing a lot of live mocap stuff as well, facial mocap, so.
Yeah. Oliver Tree, it's so funny. You hear his music, it doesn't sound anything like what he looks like, you know? It's like, I would not expect that coming out of him, but yeah.
Yeah. He's a cool dude though, man. That guy goes on all cylinders. Like he's just pumping shit out nonstop. Like directs all his own music videos, flies all over the world,
man,
making these like mini documentaries and weird videos nonstop. You know, he's a machine.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to work with him. But in Unreal, so when I got Oliver Tree scanned, Jules let us go and like, you know, get scanned over there, which was awesome. Cause I was just kind of like, he let me hop in there too. So I got this wicked, crazy high quality scan of myself. So I tried the technique of just porting that scan into MetaHumans and it worked great. It turned out perfect. And I just kind of like put it in there and now built a little world and then just did a thing where it clones the character onto a rigged one where it runs around with it. So I can just basically just run around a scene right now with my controller. That's about it.
So you brought the scan from the light stage into MetaHumans. And then MetaHumans allows you to rig it or?
Yeah.
I know you can create stuff based off of like pictures or something like that with MetaHumans.
No, this one, it's similar process to what I was talking about with the character creator one. Mm-hmm. You conform it to the mesh and you can do it all in Unreal.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's cool.
But MetaHumans are pretty limited with the clothing options and stuff like that. It's a little more difficult to do all those cons and variations in there. And, you know, I'm hoping that they update it with a huge update sometime soon with more, you know, hairstyles. Because the hair actually looks pretty incredible in MetaHuman. It's pretty awesome, yeah.
Can you also bring in custom characters, like cartoony characters in MetaHumans as well? Or is that more
photorealistic
looking?
Yeah, I think it's more their photorealistic rig. Gotcha. Scenario. But the character creator, the Reillusion stuff has cartoony characters that work on the same rigging system realistic characters. It's pretty nuts, man. You should give it a try.
Yeah, see, it's one of those things. It's like, I feel like I should get into that. Because all I want to do is, I just want to make cartoons. That's all I'd like to do, you know? And it's like, I don't know, this is a chance to do it.
I think Winbush has got a lot of good tutorials and stuff on.
Yep, I've taken his whole. So I actually was doing basically live event stuff in Unreal for probably 6 months straight last year.
Oh.
You know, and it was all just we'd create a lot of the stuff in C4D, bring it into Unreal Engine, and then you know we'd texture it and light it and render it out of there because we were doing like some crazy. Like 14K stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like we needed these massive renders and we couldn't send it off to a farm because it was just going to be exponentially more expensive. You know? And so doing
How's Unreal for rendering at that res? Does it work well on 1G?
It all depends on your VRAM because if you're using like a lower quality one, like a 30 or a 2080 or something like that, you can only get up to like 4K before there's this weird, and I don't know, they may have fixed it since then, but you'd get this weird like black band across the right side of it, you know?
Are you doing path tracing or what rendering are you doing?
I have no idea. I don't even remember, you know? It's been a while since I've been in Unreal. But on my 3090... I could get up to 7K before anything after that, I'd get that black band, you know? Yeah. But I feel like some of the higher end cards with much more VRAM, you'd be able to get, you know, much higher. But we end up doing 7K and then, you know, upscaling it, you know? Yeah. Because you'd run into issues, You could do higher res ones where it would basically render out one section and then one section and then one section and one section, but you'd run into, like, you'd see obvious discrepancies between the four different areas.
That's my biggest hurdle with Unreal is, like, because in an ideal world, it'd be great to just throw some stuff that doesn't matter if it's 90% as good looking as Octane. You can just, like, throw it in there and render a million frivolous shots and then have more fun editing with all these, you know, extra angles and whatnot. But it's always been that once I have scenes with just hundreds of textures, importing all that shit into Unreal doesn't come in clean or perfect at all. And you're still rebuilding everything. So there's so much redundant work that unless I'm rendering, like, hours of runtime, it makes no sense to, you know, port everything over there. Like, in the time that it takes me to build everything again in Unreal, I could have rendered 80% of the project or more.
That was, it's so funny because I saw this, like, meme or whatever online, and it's like, spend 1 hour, what is it? 1 hour animating to, or 1 hour in Blender to do, like, 8 hours in rendering or something, or spend, you know, 8 hours in Unreal for 30 seconds of rendering or something.
It's
almost the exact same amount of time.
Yeah. But it's still fun to play around in it and see what's capable of, because it's really, for a lot of stuff, especially if you don't have a lot of specular materials, it's like, it's almost as good, indistinguishable in some cases, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that Octane DAW is just kind of, nothing touches it.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. You know, I have you messed around with Octane in Unreal at all?
No. Or I did once a long, long time ago. Seemed kind of like, why am I doing this? What's the point?
Yeah, I think originally the idea, and I would love to talk to them about this. You know, maybe I'll mention it while we're at RenderCon, but like...
Oh, if you could pour your materials in and it would still...
like, because I'm pretty sure you can import an Orbix file into Unreal, but the question is, like, I would also love to use Octane as a render engine for, like, building a game or something. It would be
bringing
killer.
In your Orbex into Unreal. It's just, all you can probably do is just render that Orbex out of Unreal, and you're not getting any savings or advantages of doing it Unreal at all.
Yeah. I don't know. Could be interesting though. Like,
if you could use it as a hub to just bring in your C4D Octane materials into Unreal and it just worked perfectly, and you could still mess with them in the blueprints, then it would be a different story. That would be incredible. I don't think that's the case, right?
I want to say you can adjust your materials.
Really?
I don't know. It's been so long, and I'm not sure. Yeah, like, I know they had a big focus on Unreal for a while, you know? But because they were focusing on Unreal and Blender at the same time. Now I know they're doing a lot of stuff with Blender. Like, now you can import Blender scenes directly into Render, into the Render Cloud, you know, and get those rendered. But it's like, I know their big push was to get Brigade working in Unreal.
The infamous Brigade.
So
the magic MacGuffin, it's never come to light. Everyone's been so excited about it, but I've kind of given up hope.
You
must bring it up with Jules on this podcast. Does he say anything about it? Is it just unstable?
I think the whole thing with Brigade was that they got to a point where there were so many things implemented in regular Octane from Brigade that there was no point in continuing with Brigade. Now, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. It's like, you know, because what's always crazy,
like,
to me,
lights and stuff like that.
Or, you know, some of the denoising stuff, or the adaptive sampling and stuff like that.
And all we wanted was that crazy speed.
We just want that real time. I know. But it's like, you know, I don't know. There's still a button in standalone that's supposed to be real time, you know. I don't know what they're heavily focused in render, you know, mm-hmm. and getting people on board with the Render Foundation and stuff like that, you know, and I know they're still improving Octane and stuff, but I don't know what the future of Brigade is, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll come back after the 15th, you know, for...
Yeah, I wish I could go. Are they streaming RenderCon or what? Is that going to be a lot of it? Ah, damn.
Just come down. I think I've got a... you can crash with me.
It's America, man. We're at war right now.
Oh, that's true. On behalf of America, I would like to apologize to all of our Canadian friends.
Dude, I was supposed to talk at a conference in New York in May, and it got canceled because, like, everybody from Europe and Canada was like, no, I'm not coming. Or, you know, they just had, like, reduced interest to the point where they're like, oh, we shouldn't do this. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad.
It's... Yeah. Don't get me started. It's so
sick. Yeah, we don't have to. We don't have
to. Anyway. But I will apologize on behalf of the good American friends.
We know you're not all bad down there.
Yeah. Even though I'm also from Texas, I promise. I'm an ally, not an enemy. Yeah. So here's something that I'm surprised by. Because early on in your career, you know, mm-hmm. you were just kind of creating these your own little fun videos and stuff and After Effects and the chickening and, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, do you have so much fun doing the work that you currently do that you're not like wanting to do your own stuff anymore? Or is there like something in the back burner right now where you're like, I really want to do this. I really want to revisit this or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm having fun just doing these little short clips on my Instagram whenever I have time in between the jobs. But I mean, the jobs like sometimes are super fun and all encompassing where I like the Molly Crew video, I couldn't mm-hmm. do anything in 6 months. And then other times, you know, I still do the odd soul-sucking advertising job that I don't give a shit about. It's just to make a little cash. Like, I don't know. It's kind of all over the place. And sometimes, in February, I had a dry spell that was kind of odd for me. I hadn't had that in a while.
Mine was January and February.
Really?
Yeah. And part of December. Like, I didn't pick up my first gig until middle of March. It's been rough.
Yeah. Hey, it happens, man. So I don't know, but I took that as time to learn some more stuff, you know, because that's kind of like, you know, usually learning some new skills and putting some extra juice on my personal work is what always got me more work in the first place.
Yeah,
taking the time to do some experimental work for fun was always, you know, something I put out, like the chickening. It goes semi-viral and, you know, people hire you from these crazy new things where you break some new ground. So that's kind of where my head's been at, is just to kind of get better at Houdini, see if I can implement some of these other things like splatting and you know, Unreal, whatever the hell, some AI tricks, and try and come up with some new styles and directions to stay relevant, man, before we're all just replaced by machines.
Well, you've got that background in construction, you know, which I don't think will ever be replaced by machines.
It's true. Yeah. Plumbing's just too much of a bitch to build a machine to do. But honestly, I had so much fun building my house, man. I was just like, fuck, the first 2 days of getting back to my machine felt like hell. I was just like, what am I doing here? I was like, not like, you know, my studio was all like covered in dust because I hadn't been here for like 10 months barely. You know, I just came here to keep the Render Network nodes going.
That's funny.
So I just felt like just a dead, abandoned place when I got back here. And it was just like, I don't know. It was rough. The first like 10, 12 hour day I pulled, I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. But then I forced myself and now I'm slave to the machine again.
Yeah.
But I take breaks now. I go for walks.
That's good. And only being 10 minutes away from your studio. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty handy.
Yeah. A 10 minute walk too.
Yeah.
Dang. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But I mean, you know, part of me was like, I got to keep physical and, you know, keep a foot in that door because I'm just going to turn into a 400-pound slob on my computer and die like at 60 or
something.
You're
just going to be one of your renders.
Exactly. That's the end game I've been
working towards. The anthropomorphized version of one of your renders. That's funny. Are you still doing any work with the KFC people?
No, not so much the old Wyden and Kennedy crew. Yeah. A lot of them kind of left that zone and started doing other things. So one of the guys, this guy was a creative director over there. This guy, Matt Sorrell, started a kind of freelance company with some people, and I've been doing some stuff for Chili's.
Oh, that's fun.
Through them, which is kind of cool because they got me to design this like championship belt, like a wrestling boxing belt thing with a, you know, tray in front of it, like an all brass like tray of nachos in the front. So we did this commercial with Joey Chestnut, the world champion hot dog eater. And he is doing some eating contest for Chili's. And if you win, you get this championship belt. And then for life, you can go to Chili's and get it filled with nachos for free forever. And I was like, they did an amazing job. I modeled this thing out of like, you know, just in C4D and like made all the custom inlays and bronze and stuff. And then they actually got it fabricated and it looks exactly like my model. And
that's
they did all
crazy.
The stitching and it looks so cool.
So, you've got the model for it. I could actually like 3D print it and go into Chili's and be like, hey, give me some nachos.
See if you can pull that one off. I'm sure that printing that to look good will be worth it. Like, nachos that you can eat for the rest of your life.
I would love to see the person go into their first Chili's with that and be like, hey, I won this competition, and see if they actually like, because you
honor
know you
it.
Just
yeah, yeah.
like going to McDonald's and asking for a water is hard enough for them to understand. They're like, water? What? Not soda?
Like,
versus going in with a giant belt and being like, yes, I won this from corporate Chili's. Please put free chips in there.
Hey, yeah, it would probably be a rough go at some location. But yeah, maybe they put out a good communications package and tell all the managers, you know, look out for this one belt.
Well, is it free chips and dip? Like free, like just... Or is it like nachos?
I think it's nachos. Or I don't know.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if it's free chips, you get free refills on those anyway. You know? Yeah. It's like, that doesn't cost them anything.
But it's fun to see, you know, those kind of advertising gigs are fun, where it's just some stupid, ridiculous thing and we can have some, you know, fun making silly things. It's the, you know, it's the serious stuff that's not as fun for me. But it still happens. I don't know. I like to think that I can do both things. You know, sometimes when I get a more serious job, the client's always just like, we just want to make sure, you know, we're not going to put any fucking dildos in this thing. It's just like, well, who do you think I am? Do you think I have like a, you know, a need to do that on my corporate project?
You're
like
slowly pulling the dildos folder that you have saved on your thing away out of the project file.
Yeah. I'm gonna hide it in there at like 0.5 opacity just so it's still there, you know, just because I can't live without that, you know? But it's funny how scared people can be sometimes. It's like, I've got a whole portfolio of work that doesn't have dildos in it that you can look at.
Yeah. Is it more of the same, and the stuff that you're doing for more of the corporate jobs, is it more like, you know, facial rigging stuff, or is it just like really, you know,
It's all over the place. So I get like just doing that belt was just a modeling job for the most part.
That's
modeling,
true.
Ripping. And
yeah.
Some cap, because we had to have a character wearing it and stuff like that. So there was a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just because that's been my focus for the last while, doing all this character stuff, is that's kind of what the jobs are nowadays. Just because, you know,
yeah,
that's all I've been doing for the most part is that ridiculous character work. So
yeah, I was going to say, they're probably not bringing you in for like 2D explainer videos.
No, but I kind of miss doing the After Effects stuff, you know, like it's been, you know, that was my jam for so long and doing all kinds of, you know, weird comp work.
Yeah.
And when I worked on Conan as well. I mean, that was my jam for years, doing weird green screen stuff. And like, I kind of miss that. But I mean, it's just so much more fun to build stuff in 3D and do all this simulation shit. It's just kind of like, that's my jam now.
Did you ever try comping stuff in Nuke? Or were you always just an After Effects person?
Just After Effects. I mean, I never had the opportunity. Nuke was, isn't it kind of psychotically expensive?
It
or
is.
Something?
It's like $3,500 a year or something like that. Yeah.
That was enough of a deterrent for me there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
I worked with some Nuke compositors and it just seemed like a huge pain in the butt too. I don't know. Not that I'm a huge After Effects blowhard. I mean, I kind of hate After Effects in a lot of ways too. But
I mean, honestly, I gotta give After Effects props. So the two biggest things You know, like they have gotten better over the years, especially since implementing some of the multi-core stuff, the multi-threaded
only
rendering.
Only recently, though, man. Like
they, also, I switched over to a Mac Studio, and I don't get crashes anymore.
Oh wow!
Yeah, like I have more issues with Cinema 4D on. Well, I've always got the problems on the new ones, but like I don't have any issues with After Effects nowadays working on a Mac.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I guess I hate it less now that I don't use it all the time, but you know, it's a love hate thing with After Effects. It does everything I need. I did. The most frustrating thing is just like, you see other software being able to, you know, comp certain things in real time. Like even in Touch Designer, you can bring in, you know, 4K layers, comp like 7 different render passes into one in real time and play it back. And it's just like, you know, as just a separate compositing software, there's better places to do it. If all you're doing is taking passes from your renders and just needing to comp them without doing any masking and just, you know, all that other stuff, it's kind of like unbelievable how night and day it is with other apps.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything, anything else fun that you're working on or any projects that you got maybe in the works?
Right now I'm just in Houdini doing, I got, because I have that model of the White House that I did, you know, with all the garbage everywhere. Do you remember seeing that? It was like, I trashed the White House.
It's coming back. It's got to come back.
And I bought this really high-end Trump scan that I used in the past, but I never had it rigged on a body. So I brought it into a character creator the other day and like did that workflow we've been talking about this whole time. So I've got him rigged where I can just do morphs. I can make him into a fat woman, a skinny man, whatever the hell, you know, change his height, change all the facial morphs really easily. And it's all rigged for mocap now. So I just did that last week. So I got him in the White House just pressing the Diet Coke button over and over again. And it's just launching Diet Coke cans at his face.
That's funny.
And then I think camera's going to turn and I'm going to do a little JD couch humping simulation.
Nice. Love that. Just, love that.
Yeah. You know, that's throw good. It to the theme song of America's Funniest Home Videos, you know? This is
Did you know that the America's Funniest Home Videos theme song is ska?
Oh, really?
Yeah, go back and listen to it. It's ska. Wow. Yeah.
Cool. Matthew H. is saying Nuke isn't so bad. Entry level is cheap and free. I didn't know they had a cheap or free version of it.
I didn't know that either. That's cool.
Be cool to try it out.
Yeah.
Fusion too. I haven't, I've tried it once way back in the day and actually liked it. I don't know why I didn't stick with it.
Yeah. I did the same, you know, I did like one project in Fusion, you know, and it all kind of makes sense, you know, once you,
the node workflow is kind of awesome.
So,
but there's so many things like, you know, I use Puppet Tool tons in After Effects and other things. Where it's just like, there's no substitute for certain things in AE, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, excited to see the more work. We got to have you back on more often. It's
whenever.
I have a huge appreciation for your work, you know. And I think I told you this when we were at Joel's place, you know, for the big MoGraph Jam, whatever.
Oh, way back when.
Yeah, way back when. It's like I just love that you just don't give a shit, you know. It's like,
Carola, what are you talking about?
I mean,
about?
No, you like, you do awesome work and, but it's silly and it's fun. And it's like, you know, it's just, it, this type of stuff that like when I did the, when you brought me on to do the Adult Swim one, you know, like the Thomas the Vape Engine, it's like the conversations we had, like over the phone where it's like, oh no, we need more pustules on his face. It's like, as silly as it is, like that's the type of work I want to be doing, you know, because it's just fun
stuff. Like, especially when you get notes on that stuff and it's the silliest, ridiculous thing ever.
Yeah,
it's fun. Well, I mean, you know, it probably could have gone really bad for me, you know, making this ridiculous stuff. Like, it's sometimes I'm amazed. I'm like, shit, people are still hiring me, even though I do this really off-putting stuff once in a while.
It's, I mean, like, people like to laugh, you know?
Yeah, but luckily it kind of curates what work comes your way. But yeah, you know, it's pretty niche in a lot of ways too. Like, as many people would love to work with me and get this kind of stuff going, there's a lot of people that would never want to work with me for the same reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it can be a hit or miss thing there too, but it's, you know, obviously, like I said, you know, I do more normal stuff as well. And that pays the bills when there's a drought on the fun stuff. But
for sure. For sure.
It all seems to work out so far.
Awesome. Nick, where can people find you if they want to hit you up or whatever?
Just Smearballs across the board. Instagram, smearballs.com.
With an S or a Z?
Doesn't matter. You'll find me one way or another.
All right.
Awesome. It's different on every platform. I forget. I screw that up.
That's funny. Okay, cool. Thanks everyone for joining. Make sure to follow us on all the socials, especially YouTube and Twitch. We've been doing our weekly MoGraph hangouts this week. We've got our weekly MoGraph hangout this week as well. We decided we're going to do video games. We're going to make some video games. And so we're going to be, I've been pretty big into the NES, you know, homebrew stuff. So we're going to be making a NES game based off of EJ's C40 character. And we're also going to be bringing that stuff into Unreal Engine as well and create a video game off of that. So it's going to be a good juxtaposition between old technology and new technology and kind of seeing how those two work together. So and then maybe we'll take some breaks. It's the anniversary of the MoGraph Balls Pack.
Shut up.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
but that was April Fool's.
Yeah, that was.
That's awesome. That's, we got to do a new one.
Yeah,
man.
Dude.
Do like some 8K balls.
Oh, that's so hilarious. It's funny. Awesome. Yeah, also, I will be out next week and we'll be out the week after next week for NAB and the week after for RenderCon. So we're taking a 2-week break. And also, if you haven't done it, make sure to sign up for your very own MoGraph.com account. One-stop shop for everything motion designer needs. You can showcase your demo reel, projects you've worked on, post jobs, apply for jobs, sell your digital goods, find meetup groups, or start one of your own. And so much more is planned. We have like over 750 members now, and we're slowly growing. We're an artist-first site where your work will always be yours and will never be fed to the AI machine. So stop feeding Zuck's AI machine and start posting on MoGraph.com. So, thanks everyone for coming and hanging out with us. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Until then, I'm Matt.
I'm Nick.
Later, yo.
Pretty good, I guess.